Would you turn back to Matthew chapter 7? Verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Do you remember when James said, you have not because you ask not? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, I wonder if anyone has ever thought, I guess I must have been asking amiss, because I've asked for things and did not receive them. I've sought things and did not find them. I've knocked and the door did not seem to be opened to me. And perhaps this verse in some measure has discouraged us greatly because we've not seen it in operation in our lives. Is this a blank check? Ask whatever you want. You'll get it. Well, you know it's not that, because we have a record of Paul the Apostle where he asked three times that the thorn might be removed from him. And he did not get what he asked for. In my experience, I've asked for many things. That I thought I needed, that I thought would be for my spiritual good, and I did not get what I asked for. Does this mean this promise is not true? God forbid. God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. May the Lord be our teacher as we consider this thing of asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, this ought to be the tenor of our lives, and it will be if we're believers. Asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, I have 4 points to this message. The first point is a need. The second point is a command. The third point is a promise. And the fourth point is a reason. Very simple. First, a need. A need. I am asking for what I do not have, and I need. I think it's interesting that when the Lord begins this message, known as the Sermon on the Mount, what is the first description of a believer? First description. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They have nothing. A believer is first of all described. Now listen to this. A believer is first of all described by what he does not have. Poor in spirit. With great needs. I'm seeking that which either I lost or that which I do not know where it is, and I need it. I'm knocking upon a door that is closed, and I feel closed out, and I want in, and I want it open to me, and I want what's in it. I desire who is in it. I desire fellowship. I'm knocking, and I feel like I'm shut out. Now, there seems to be a greater degree of urgency in each step. I go from asking to seeking to knocking because of a need. Now, David, the man after God's own heart. Don't you want to have the heart of David? I want to have the heart of David. As a matter of fact, every day I pray. This is something that's in my prayer every day. Lord, make me to be a man after thine own heart. That's what was said of David. Now I want to be there, don't you? Do you know how David described himself more than any other description? 10 times he makes this description of himself. I am poor and needy. I'm poor. There are so many things that I do not have. And I have great needs. Now, this is a beautiful description of a believer. He is someone who has great needs. Not everybody's needy like this. As a matter of fact, very few are needy like this. But a believer is someone who has great needs. They need mercy. They need grace. They need God's favor. They need the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a thing of need. Not just want, but need. Now, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord begins with the Beatitudes. It's a description of what a believer is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. They mourn over sin. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's giving these descriptions of these what a believer must be, but he can't attain unless God does something for him. These Beatitudes are not something I can just up and decide to manifest. No, God's got to give them to me. I have great needs. And then we're given a code of conduct, which is impossible for the natural man, like being angry, not being angry with our brother without a cause. Have you ever lived up to that? Not lusting in our hearts, having our yea, yea, and our nay, nay. Never, ever seeking retaliation, loving our enemies, not doing what we do to be seen of men, not laying up for ourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, forbidden to have worry or stress or anxiety about anything, not judging anybody for any reason, not casting our pearls before swine. And we see our failure in all of these things and our need for mercy, our need for grace, for obedience. Now, this is not about asking for a new car, but asking for mercy, asking for grace, asking for his loving kindness and his favor toward me for Christ's sake, asking for faith, asking for repentance, asking for love, asking for a new heart. Needy is the word. I'll ask for that which I have need of. And that's all I really ask for. Needy is the word. Now, I want to ask you a question. In this life, do we ever cease being poor in spirit? What did the Lord say of the church at Laodicea? What did they say? I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. And I have need of nothing. And he said, you don't know that you're poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. Oh, woe to us when we seek to be poor. Is there ever a time that you don't need to continue mourning over your sin? When's the last time before God you mourned over your sin? And said with David, my sin is ever, ever before me. Do we ever stop hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Now you hunger and thirst after something that in your experience you don't feel like you have it and you want it. And you cry out in this great need. Now, we ask for what we need. Now, I was thinking about this. It's so real to me. Being in and of myself, totally depraved. I'm not just using that as a theological term. I'm talking about the experience of my own heart. Being a sinner, how I need God's election to be unconditional. Because if he's got to find a reason in me to do it, there won't be one. I need his electing mercy. I need Christ's effectual redemption. It won't do me any good at all if he could die for me and I'll wind up in hell anyway. I need for his atonement to be successful, to actually put away my sin so I don't have any. I need this. Oh, how I need for his grace to be irresistible and invincible and conquer me. A relentless grace that will not take no for an answer. I need that. Oh, how I need to be preserved by his grace so I'll persevere. You know, the doctrine of grace, it's the doctrine of need, isn't it? It's the doctrine of need. This is what I need from the depths of my heart. You ask for that which you need. I love that song. I need thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin. My soul is dark and guilty. My heart is dead within. I need the cleansing fountain where I can always flee. The blood of Christ, most precious. The sinner's perfect plea. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from ever losing this sense of need, this sense of hunger and thirst after him. I ask for what I need. I seek what I need. And don't feel like I have it, but I want it and I seek it. I knock on the door for that which I need. I don't need to be healthy. I don't need to be wealthy. But I need to have my sins forgiven. I need to have a new heart. I need mercy and grace. This is about need. The Lord said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It says of the Lord in Luke chapter 9, verse 11, he healed them that had need of healing. I'm one of them. Lord, heal me. You ask for that which you have need of. You feel like you don't have it, but how you need it. Now here is the second point. A command. A command. Do you know that these words, ask, seek, and find, are all in the imperative? They are Christ commanding that one with great needs. That one, if you need, Christ commands you, ask. Your right to ask is because he commands you to. Seek. Your reason to seek is because he commands you to. Knock. Your reason to knock, your right to knock and to continue knocking is because he himself commands you to. The ability to ask, the ability to seek, the ability to knock comes with the command. I love it when the Lord said to that man with the withered hand. It was withered up. I don't know what it looked like, but he couldn't stretch it forth. It was withered. And the Lord said, stretch forth thine hand. He couldn't. It was withered. But when the Lord commanded him to, he could. If the Lord commands you to ask, you know what you're going to do? You're going to ask. If the Lord commands you to believe, you know what you're going to do? You're going to believe because the ability comes with the holy command. He commands his people to ask, to seek, and to knock. Now that word ask, it's also translated beg. I like that. Beg. I'm not too proud to beg. Crave. Desire. Require. That's the way the King James translates those words. Beg for mercy because you have nothing to pay for. Crave his grace. Desire forgiveness. Require salvation. Your right to ask as he commands you to. You're commanded to seek. And to not stop. To continue seeking. To be persistent. To don't give up. We're commanded to knock. There's the closed door. We may feel shut out, but Christ himself commands us to knock. Would you turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 11?
Verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, picture what took place. You're in bed, you're asleep, somebody knocks on the door. I don't have anything in my house to eat. I want to provide people with something to eat. They're there. Could you give me 3 loaves? Back then, they didn't have Kroger's open 24 hours a day. They didn't have the convenience stores that we have. If you were going to have it, somebody's going to have to give it to you. So he knocks on the door. Give me these 3 loaves. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, I love when the Lord says that. I say unto you. There's something so powerful when he says this. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, that word means shameless persistence. I said no. I said no. Think of that going on for 15 or 20 minutes. All right, here it is. I can't stand it any longer. Here's your bread. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give him because he's a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. And knock and it shall be opened to you. Here's the command of Christ to all needy sinners. Ask. Ask right now. Ask the Lord to give you what you need. Seek what you feel like maybe you've lost. Or maybe you feel like you've never had it in the first place. But you want to find. Seek it. Knock on that door. Be persistent. Give the Lord no rest. Now that's the Lord's command to you. Give him no rest. Are your children unsaved? Give him no rest. Do you need mercy? Give him no rest. And he commands us to do that. Don't worry about, well, he'll get to, he commands us to seek him that persistently. Now here's the promise given from the great promise keeper. Turn back to our text in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 8. For everyone, now listen to what our Lord says. For everyone, no exceptions to this rule. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now here is a promise from the great promise keeper who never told a lie. He says, everyone that asks, no exceptions, everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks finds. And notice, it's something we're always doing. We're always asking. We're always seeking. And we're always knocking. This isn't a one-time thing. This is something that characterizes the life of the believer every day. I'm always asking, I'm always seeking, and I'm always knocking. And our Lord promised everybody that does these things, their prayer shall be answered. Now somebody is thinking, but I have asked. I've asked for many things that I thought would be for my good, and I have not received. Well, one of two things are true. First, you never really asked. You tried to bargain. You tried to strike a deal. You tried to say, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this. That's not asking. That's trying to buy his favor. You don't come into the great King of Kings and try to offer him something. Do you think that there's anything that you have that he could accept? No, we don't come trying to strike a deal with the Lord God of heaven. We come asking the great, glorious God of heaven, who's so rich, we ask him. Or it could be that you were not asking for good things. Notice what it says in verse 11. How much more shall your heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The heavenly Father only gives good things. Perhaps what we've been asking for would not have been for our good. Here's an example. I don't know how many times I've asked the Lord for victory over sin. And I want it too. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to sin against my Redeemer. And I don't know how many times I've asked the Lord for victory over sin. Lord, give me victory over this particular sin or that particular sin. Let me commit it no more. Deliver me. Wouldn't that be for my good? Wouldn't that be for my spiritual good, for me to not sin anymore? Wouldn't that be for your glory? I want grace to not sin. You know, John wrote, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's to be my ambition, to never sin again. I ask the Lord for victory over sin. And I feel like I end up getting worse. I feel like I end up getting worse. Not better, but worse. And I am driven to know that the only hope that I have is that Jesus Christ died for me. Nothing else. I got nothing else I can hold on to. That's it. My faith is this. All that I have is Christ Jesus the Lord. That's all I have. I have no other plea before God. I can't talk about the victory I personally have over sin or anything I've done. Only what He has done. But you know what? The Scripture says this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. And actually, the Lord's answering my prayer. I'm not in any way making an excuse for any sin. But isn't it a blessing when you're made, you're driven to look to Christ only, and what peace there is there, what joy there is there in looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek and you shall find me. I think of what our Lord said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Knock and don't stop knocking until the door is opened. We're continually asking, seeking and knocking. We never quit, and he who cannot lie has promised, he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There has never been a sinner asking for mercy that was turned away. There's never been someone who sought the Lord that didn't find him. There's never been someone who knocked, and the door of grace remained open. This is his promise. Now, believe this promise. Now, here's maybe the most important point, the fourth point. The reason why this is so. Look with me at verse 9 of Matthew chapter 7. We've seen the need. We've seen the promise. Here's the reason this promise is true. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you? Now the Lord is giving us a reason as to why when we ask we'll receive, and when we seek we'll find, and when we knock it'll be open, because we think, but look at me. How could that be? Well, he gives us a reason as to how this can be. For what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now I want to appeal to every parent here, and you who will be parents one time. If your child was hungry and he wanted something to eat, would you throw him out a rock to eat?
You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd want to give him that which is good. Or if he asked for a fish, would you throw him out a poisonous snake that could bite him? You wouldn't do that to your kids, would you? You love your kids, and you really, genuinely, from your heart, want the best for them. You love your kids. You'll give them that which they need, won't you? I mean, if they need it, you're going to do everything in your power to make sure they have that which they need. Everybody in here that's a parent feels that way very, very strongly. You'll give your kids that which they need. I'm committed to that. I mean, that's more important to me than anything else, take care of my family. I want to do that. I mean, that's important. You mothers, you want the best for your children. I know you do. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Now look what the Lord says in verse 11. If you then, being evil. Now the Lord's talking to his children here. He goes on to speak of your heavenly Father. He's talking to believers. He's talking to those who have the Beatitudes. He's talking to those who ask, who seek, and who knock. And he says, if you then, being evil. Do you find that offensive? When the Lord says, if you then, being evil. He's not even talking about what you do right now. He's talking about your character. Your character. If you then, being evil. Now, if I say to you, you are evil, I might be telling the truth, but I'm doing it in a judgmental way if I ever say it. You know, anytime I say, if I'm having a disagreement with my wife, I say, you're evil. Y'all ever do that? I'm doing that in a judgmental, harsh way, and it's really not right, although it might be true. If you say to me, you're evil, it's the truth, but I probably will take offense to it. Well, I'm no worse than you are. But if he says it, if you then, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, if he says it, and this is how he defines us, if you then, being evil, isn't that just so? If the Lord says that to you, wouldn't you say, amen, that's me. He's got me right down. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, he's not evil, he's altogether good, he's altogether glorious, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord God be able to give good gifts to his children? Don't you love it when the Lord says, your Father? I love that in the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He's speaking to his disciples, and he talks about your Father. You know, God is my Father. He's my Father. Abba, Father. He's my Father through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he made me his son. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. He is my Father. Christ Jesus has made him my Father. Don't you love it when he says, your Father? You know, he said when he was, after he was resurrected, he said, I go to my God and your God. I go to my Father and your Father. That's what he does. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things? Oh, all he gives is good things. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 8. Verse 31,
what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from also freely giving us all things? Whatever thing it is, whatever good thing it is, justification, the forgiveness of sins, sanctification, adoption, perseverance, whatever, mercy, grace, faith, repentance, whatever that good thing is, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Now, I'm not trying to strike a deal, but Lord, give me, for Christ's sake, these good things, the good things of the kingdom. All he gives is good things, and those good things he gives to them that ask. May the Lord make me and you people who ask, people who seek, and people who knock. And I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I mean, that is the daily bent of our lives. Asking for that which I don't have and need. Seeking that which I've lost. Probably my fault, I lost it and I don't have it anymore, but I want it back. Or I don't know where it's at and I got to have it. I need it. Knocking for that door to be open. You know, the Lord said to the church at Laodicea. As a matter of fact, let's turn there. Let's close with this. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. You know, this passage of Scripture absolutely scares me to death. I think this is, and when a church loses the Spirit of God, and it happens, the Lord leaves. Here's what takes place. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. That's the way he began every one of these seven churches. I know your works. Not what you believe, not what you say, but your works. That thou art neither cold nor hot. Some are cold and they hate themselves for it. Some are white hot for the glory of Christ. And he says, I would that you were cold or hot, but you're neither. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now here's what it is to be lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm in good shape, don't worry about me. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, the righteousness of Christ, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Oh, how precious is that white raiment to you and to me. The righteousness of the saints, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love. I want to be one of those people, don't you? He doesn't love everybody. But he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. You see, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourges every son that he receives. Now, I want to be somebody he rebukes, don't you? I don't want to be rebuked, but I don't want to be without rebuke. I don't want to be without chastisement. That would mean I'm not a son. As many as I love,
I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to be someone always asking, don't you? May God give us grace to be just that. Let's pray together.